This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
This is, of all the hours in the week that I do radio, this is one of them.
Yeah, sure.
And so I kind of look forward to it now. I'm like, oh, man, a bummer.
Well, listen, you got to go out on a good one.
My last radio hour ever is Briscoe's show.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last week was neither a dream nor a fluke. I mean, it was a dream in a lot of ways, but it's a dream that continues here, closing out this week of Almost Entirely Sports. The only way that we really ever want to close out a week. Nick Schaefer, KSHB 41.
Two of my nicknames in high school were Dream and Fluke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Tripod was my third.
Because you had three nicknames?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
They just needed a third one.
I love TV guys, right? I was always out shooting stories, kind of a one-man band.
Yeah. That makes
set up that tripod really quick.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You're known for your quick tripod, quick draw also.
Speaking of, do you think it's wise that sports reporters who will be outside in freezing cold weather, below freezing cold weather on Sunday night, should start popping Viagra now?
I started doing it yesterday, and I've just
and you're gonna be indoors.
Yeah, I'm in Kansas City indoors. I've just been taking it every 4 hours since I heard that Bart Scott clip.
I'm gonna be out there Sunday night all night long.
I don't think if you started by the first official day of winter, it's too late.
It's like allergy meds. You've got to get a good routine going.
It's same with cramping up, right? If you can't rehydrate that day, if you start cramping up, it's from your hydration the day prior.
And the Viagra cramps, nothing to mess with.
The worst.
I mean, had you heard that before?
Just the worst.
No, I hadn't heard that before.
I was just curious. Have you? No, that was news to me. But I do think that, let's see, can I make this joke a fourth time? Yeah, sure. I mean, there's lots of things we already knew about that game. It's going to be really cold. Josh Allen is not very good in cold weather, and it does seem like he's going to be hard to bring down from the pocket, you know?
Agreed.
There were a couple of really good phrases that I think could make air, especially in the 9 o'clock hour of somebody just tweeted back to me
let's tempt it. Let's just see what happens.
So, yeah, Josh Allen's going to be back there in the opening snap and shotgun fully bricked up. And the phrase fully bricked up really got me. Yeah.
I mean, if he figures it out, they'll erect a statue.
Yeah,
of him.
They should. They absolutely should. Yeah. You know, but there's a word that they say more kind of in the UK, if you make a mistake, you don't want to have one of those.
Don't want to have a boner.
Don't want to make a boner out there. That would be unacceptable. That game's going to be tight. I don't know if that was a pun or just a lead up to another one.
Now, is the statue pre or post Viagra?
Between that and the Kodak Black puns from the past week. Those were great.
I don't know if I know what Kodak Black puns
were
from.
Really?
Mick's the youngest person.
You missed that. You live on social media. What happened,
Mick, guys? Mick is the youngest person on the show right now.
This would have been
aging rapidly.
Tuesday night. It turned out it was a twerking lap dance type deal.
Uh-huh.
But from across the way at a Florida Panthers game, it looked like it really appeared that Kodak Black was having intercourse with a young lady.
I'm on complex.com right now.
Big time.
Good for him.
I mean, so...
Go Kodak.
And so you had the, like... Was that high sticking? I don't know hockey, right?
there was definitely a sticking there.
Is that a shot in the crease? I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, someone was offsides heavily.
You seeing it now? You seeing the video?
I haven't found the video yet. Acquiring some information.
There
right
was
now.
Then closer video that came out that you, I guess, could tell that they were not. There was no actual intercourse being.
They weren't doing that.
What I was actually googling was trying to remember what the initial slogan was for the Kodak camera brand, and it was "You push the button, we do the rest." That
there you go. That one too.
That's there. I think there was something more recently that I just.
There's some better ones that I've already pushed the envelope enough that I'll tell you off air that were good.
It's 9 o'clock. Share moments, share life is also apparently a newer Kodak slogan.
Well, I didn't know who he was until this deal, and then somebody said this is honestly the biggest thing that's happened to hockey in Florida, and that's counting the two Lightning titles.
Yeah, I still can't find. I need to find the most incriminating. the most incriminating
one from
clip
across
here.
The.
Here it is, right here.
I'm. This story has too many angles right now, and not enough of. Okay, I'm watching. I'm watching the
you're
video.
Watching
they're panning
on the internet.
Oh
the
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. That certainly looks like he's just out there. She's just everyone's just out there, and there's just a pack of dancing white people just below them, you know, in the lower bowl, just unaware of what's happening above their heads.
Yep. So apparently it didn't happen, but it was great. So that reminded me just of the puns we made.
Good for
from
them.
That Kodak Black moment.
They're in a hockey rink, you think? Maybe Kodak was just like, oh God, I listened to Bart Scott. Help. And then,
that
you know, a willing passerby was like, you know what?
Look, those, I mean, I can't believe they did that a lot. I mean, those pants are tight.
That's so here. This is part of the thing that has been confusing to me is the logic of it is a circulatory drug that would help increase blood flow. That makes sense.
Yes.
What does not make sense is the idea that you get to pick where the blood flow is increased to. I don't think that, you know,
you just
Sandman.
Have to have a strong mind.
You know, Sandman from the Spider-Man movies?
Yeah.
He can make more sand go to his fist, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that Bart Scott can do that.
Not with that attitude.
No. So, how many games was he potentially playing?
Well, it's probably it helps circulation all over.
Right. It just seems like the
it's
sort
like
of
when you take an Advil, right? It gets in your blood. It can help with a pain in your head, a pain in your arm,
I think,
pain in your leg.
I think that's about your pain receptors. By the way, I watched a video on that at some point recently enough to think that there was something interesting there. But no, I understand that it would improve circulation everywhere. But I would think that if you were playing football, you would want it to not improve circulation for the reason on the back of a package. Or for the package, that for that matter. Like, stiffen up defense is not...
Oh, there's a lot of
there's
them
a
there.
Lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that I'm glad that we did talk about that, because that's something that's really been plaguing me since last night. Rudy had not heard the audio until the show.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we're a well-circulated show. We're staying nice and warm in here. My toes feel great. And I'm gonna stay right here at this desk for a couple hours after the show ends tonight, I think, just to make sure that everything's where it's supposed to be.
I mean, really, you should only have to wait. If you have to wait for more than an hour,
like that's true. Right? Because we're three. This will be three after.
True, yeah.
Yeah. I might just be here until Sports Saturday tomorrow morning. Anyway, I gotta be back in less than 12. True. So
nice.
I don't know what I'm gonna.
A couple of them and just.
Yeah, just take a nap.
Well, here's maybe something you work on here. I wanted to do an intervention with you, Josh.
Okay.
And I didn't tell you about it.
No.
Oh, I've never done an intervention before, but I'm pretty sure you don't tell the person ahead of time. Right?
I think that's
hey,
right.
Hey, Josh, you're gonna be there for that. Intervention on Friday night, right, that we scheduled
like
that's going to be awkward with all your friends and family.
A Google Calendar or Facebook event, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a public,
like,
of course.
I feel like they don't show up then because they don't want to be intervented.
I'm looking around and I don't see anyone else entering the room right now. So
it's just
like it's
me.
You and Rudy.
Yeah.
Rudy will be with
Rudy
you, I'm sure.
Rudy doesn't even know.
Okay.
Rudy might need it. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Intervene.
But here's the deal.
I'm nervous
NFL
about this.
Okay, you NFL analytics people have gone too far. You're
okay.
Over the top, and it's all you talk about.
Okay.
You know vegans and atheists and CrossFitters?
Yeah.
How that's all they talk about?
Right.
You're entering that category.
Okay.
You're a vegan, atheist, CrossFitter, okay? I've been working on this line, okay?
Yeah.
I know it's hard.
Yep. No, it's
hard for you to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's hard for me to say.
Yeah.
I Googled something.
He's holding a notebook.
It says the six things you're supposed to say during an intervention. The first thing is thank you.
Thank
you
Josh.
For so much for being a friend, having me on the show, all that.
I appreciate
hours
that.
Of entertainment.
The second is I love you. I'm a little bit too far there, but they said if that helps the intervention here.
Yeah.
The third is
I think if you vocalize the sort of second guessing of it, it probably undercuts it.
It's my first intervention. Coming
from
Slack.
Sure.
Third is I'm worried. I definitely am worried.
Yeah.
Fourth is I'm here. I think that's it's obvious. It's a stupid thing to say.
Here for you.
Like I said, here for you.
Right.
Yeah. Fifth is treatment works.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Sixth is it's a disease.
Okay.
And I realized you had this disease.
Yeah.
With another tweet today.
Was this my late night tweet last night.
Yeah, the one I saw the today. But you know, when you get up in the morning, you can never tell.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Did they just tweet about that? Was it 22 hours ago?
Yeah,
I don't know. Twitter, you're just keeping me in here because I haven't seen it.
Defensive about this, or if I'm going to be accepting of it.
Well, you're probably going to be defensive because
here's the thing: if you heard the original take, it was bad.
If it's
about the tweet that I think it's about,
that's where I'm at. If this was about what I think may have been Rex Ryan and potentially Bart
National
Scott,
National ESPN Radio right now.
Yeah,
that one.
This was immediately following
Brandon Staley, the Geek Coach.
Yeah,
with the pocket protector, yeah. And I'm just really loving the bar we've set to clear out here. More name calling, which we all name call on Twitter. Okay, right? Don't we?
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, I mean,
then coherent points, zero, mm-hmm. delicious. Brandon Staley is not blameless. Mm-hmm. Lots of valid criticisms. They have not found any of them. Mm-hmm. We didn't make the playoffs with Justin Herbert, but sure. Okay, two, the geeks are the ones who people think have the biggest tone problem, right?
Yeah.
And I think you do have a tone problem.
Okay. Oh, I agree.
So, because when it works, right, you dance on graves.
Yes.
Of people like, was it Rex Ryan? Was that who it was?
Yes.
You dance,
yes.
Which is fine. I'm not defending Rex Ryan. But and by the way, I want.
I
to
thought
be,
he might like that.
Can I be a a junior member of the analytics club? Because I'm like all for like go for it on fourth down. I mean, you've passed your own 35.
Sure, yeah.
Go for it. But I'm not ready for like okay, you're down 9. Go for 2 yet. I'm not ready for that part
okay.
yet.
All right.
I just
well,
want to be.
Okay.
I want some of the patches. I want to be a wolf scout.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for eagle scout.
You,
right?
You shouldn't have to get all the patches in day one.
I feel
one.
Like it's black and white on Twitter. Right.
Sure.
Well, right. I feel
Twitter's
like
got problems.
Right.
Yeah. And, Twitter's not perfect.
No, it's not. But it's a great
Close,
deal,
I would say.
You NFL full bore, uh-huh. full on Viagra taking NFL analytics people are on. When it right. works, you dance on graves. Like, mm-hmm. see, when it doesn't work, it's like it's not results based. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Yeah, it's not going to work every day. It's not result. Would you tell this guy every time? Would you tell this guy? Oh my gosh, about analytics. Would you tell him? And then, yeah, God. And then nobody ever tells about what
but
happens
this,
there.
But this is my frustration. There is within that context. That is all. That is fair and valid criticism. I just want to make sure that Rex Ryan is also within that realm of critiquing, where he and I think there was a someone said Bart. I'm guessing it was Bart Scott.
Maybe I think it was Bart.
He might not have had enough blood in his brain at this time. It's hard to say. It was hard to say. It was hard to listen to, and he was hard to listen to. I think that he got to a point where he was saying, you know, he caused him a playoff spot, and he caused him that game against the Chiefs. And there's never any mention of, was that aggressiveness and that mindset one of the major factors they beat the Chiefs the first time, where it absolutely was. I think there are plenty of reasons you could criticize Brandon Staley. He went to L.A. as a defensive mind, and their defense mm-hmm. isn't good. But that's not what they were talking about, and that's the thing that will frustrate me, where you just... It is very easy for
football guy, Mark Schlereth, and I don't know what air yards means.
It's very easy for them to say, oh, look, he went for it on fourth down. He was weirdly too aggressive, which is also a weird thing that football, like, that Mark Schlereth doesn't like it when mm-hmm. teams are more aggressive. That was weird to me. But you can point at that. I am being defensive, I guess. You can point at that and say, oh, look, this situation, they went with the analytically sound decision, or they were more aggressive, which isn't always analytically sound.
Right. I feel like a lot of times we equate
and now he's a
analytics
geek.
With just being ballsy.
Right, which is weird because that would have, by like the stereotypes, wouldn't Rex Ryan, Bart Scott, Mark Schlereth want to do the ballsier thing? That's just strange. That's not at the core of it. I just think that's sort of intriguing.
I think with Bart Scott, it's not really about
it. Feels like
balls.
The nerd. It feels like the point of the nerd.
About,
yeah. Good point.
I don't feel like none of us have, like, when the Chargers were down inside the 5 on fourth down at the end of the half against the Chiefs, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
None of us have the chart right there on, like, what's the best decision.
Right.
Right? Which I don't know. Is there a hard and fast chart there?
Because the teams that are
playing factor in. What's happened before that factors in.
Absolutely.
Weather, all that stuff factors into that to where, like, I think Cynthia Freeland came out. I don't know which side she went on with that one. But I'm just saying, I feel like we're equating analytics to just, oh, look at that kid, 4th and 17, being ballsy. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe that one doesn't check out. I don't know.
Yeah. I would think that some advanced metrics would say don't blitz Joe Burrow on 3rd and 27, right? Just like the most recent trauma that I have.
Yes.
That's one of those ones where it feels like both analytics and the eye test would tell us that, right? Because my guess is the numbers would also suggest it, but also our eyes told us throughout the course of that game that Jamar Chase one-on-one was a problem. My guess is most, not every coach, most coaches have like a sheet they work off of, But my guess is there are very it's not the same for everybody, right?
I think teams have their own things. Yes. Ben Baldwin's got his own bot. ESPN has their own bot.
And this is not the perfect one for one because they're starting to even kind of get away from this. But like the Jimmy Johnson draft pick value, right?
Right.
Like that is largely it's that every team works off this one thing. I think it's a little different where I think every team kind of has their own thing.
Whether it's right or not, I don't know if anybody's checked, but Vic Fangio referenced the analytics, mm-hmm. right? With the, was it 4th and 7?
Yeah.
When he kicked the field goal?
I think it was 4th and 9.
And I could definitely see that the analytics say that, but I mean,
but they don't though. That's one of those places where it's wild. Of like, because I was very pleased with our interaction. I will say this, you know, remembering the good times before the intervention really rocked our relationship, where you said, "Look, you said analytics. That's your religious text," and I'm telling you that sometimes people will misread religious texts.
I didn't understand your response to that.
Is that occasionally throughout history people have read religious texts and misinterpreted them with their actions? I'll explain more during the break, but there's a couple small examples.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a couple little examples.
Some religious wars that were waged.
Yeah, yeah. I would just say there's probably a couple examples of that. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but to continue my personal crusade here, the thing that frustrates me also is it, you know, right there he goes, oh, the analytics. I don't think the analytics would argue that you were going to get the football back, you know, or have a chance to march back down the field. Or if they did, I still would have leaned towards going for it there. Because of what I know about the Chiefs and the Broncos, it's all a give and take. I just did you see the Marcus Lareth video from last week or 2 weeks ago?
No,
it was him explaining that he doesn't understand the con. This is not. I'm not even trying to be a bleep about it. He was genuinely saying he does not understand what intended air yards or what air yards mean. Not even intended air yards. He did not understand what air yards meant, and those were numbers for nerds. Air yards is just how far the football is flying through the air. I think that's relevant to understanding the sport. Tyreek Hill has significantly fewer air yards per reception this year than he did last year. He's taking more short stuff and then doing more after the catch. I think that's an interesting way to help understand football more. Mark Schlereth heard a name he didn't like and then posted a video with a poop emoji. I don't think that's helping the discourse either. And I'm sure that lots of analytics people are also not helping the discourse very much. But I don't. Rex Ryan and Mark Schlereth, I don't think, should be allowed to have the monopoly.
Well, they don't have a monopoly
on, you know, football takes.
That's it. I think the intervention's done.
I think. Well, here's the thing: is I was going to mention this at the time, but I got defensive first.
Are you healed yet?
Well, what was the one about treatment? Treatment works. What number was that?
5.
What should my treatment be?
I mean, you should realize that...
I should just go put my hand in some dirt.
The Ravens went real big analytics in late games.
Yes.
Late in the season.
There
and
was
they
an
lost
interesting
them
one
too,
on that.
Right?
Yes.
They lost two of them.
The...
And I actually love this. I talked about this with Jason and Corey. I like that you had... I brought up Herbert and Fangio, two guys in the division.
Right.
Like, I've said for years, a lot of people have said for years, God, I just... Why don't these coaches just say what's on their mind, just be honest and free? And yeah, Fangio, just throwing Drew Locke under the bus.
Have you seen
all the
our
time.
Quarterback?
Like, yeah, exactly.
This division's got some.
I take a step back. I'm like, okay, maybe that's not the best idea, right? I was like, why don't we get a politician that doesn't read out the prompter, right?
Right.
He's just what he is, who he is. And we got Trump, like, okay, well. Maybe we'll try to get somebody
dial
else.
This one
right?
Back
somebody
a
else.
Bit.
Right? And so then we've got, and like I said, I am at least a junior member of the analytics club.
For sure.
In that, like, and I'm more 4th down all the time, and definitely more 2-point conversion. Where I stray is the whole. So, like, for instance, great example, Sunday night, Chargers went for 2, down 9. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
To cut it to a 7-point
right.
game to tie. Right, because the argument is, I don't want the all or nothing, right,
mm-hmm.
win or not, the 2-point conversion at the very end,
right.
Which if you don't get, which I get, but the risk there is like you're creating another possession for yourself if you don't get this 2-point conversion.
And the
right?
argument
would
be
you're down 9 and there's 4 minutes left and you've probably lost the game right there with 4 minutes
yes.
left.
But you would not actually be adding a possession because it doesn't matter when you would fail to convert. Either instance
would
be creating another possession.
You'd be down 9. If you kick
right.
the PAT, you are down 8.
Right.
One more possession.
But if you...
To tie. At that point, one more possession to tie.
But if you hit the 2-point conversion there, then it's one point possession to PAT.
No, I understand. You could miss the 2-point conversion later. But right. It's you just, are ending the game right there.
And I, this is one also where I understand.
I'm all about possessions. I want to stay in the game as long as possible.
Right.
And I think when you're the team trailing, I think it's kind of a fool's errand a lot of times to try to dictate stuff like, actually, we want to be down six here so we can go and just win the game later. Like, okay, well, a lot of stuff has to go right on those two more possessions
right.
that you have, right, to get there if things don't go well. So that it's all about a risk-reward thing. If you go for it at the 50 and you miss it, oh, well, they right. still have 50 yards to go.
Right.
But in that situation, you go for it and miss it. It's like, okay, game's probably over at that point.
Right. And again, the thing, because I understand that, I also would say I am pretty convinced by the argument of, do you want your team to finish these last 4 minutes of the game playing for a chance to tie it up at the end, or the last 4 minutes of this game knowing that the game is probably over? I totally understand the former and saying, I want to be in it as late as possible and then try to save that big moment for the end.
Because that was the Ravens deal in one of their games. They right. were down 9. They went for 2.
And did
I think there was more time left.
Yes,
but
I think so too.
So yeah, if you do that with 12 minutes left, you're going to get the ball probably two more
right.
times, although I would still kick there. And go from there.
But if you even if you were to, because I think you almost have to agree on are they gonna hit or fail on the 2-point conversion this time or that time? Because then if you are down 9 instead of being down 8 because you have failed the two, or if you're down 9 instead of 8 because you failed the 2-point conversion instead of kicking it to go to 8, I think I got that math right. You have a little bit more time in the remainder of the game to try to get something wild to happen, where if you fail to convert the 2-point conversion with 3 seconds left, the game is definitely over.
Huh.
So that is the margin. But I do think, like, that's one of those topics of, I think, a conversation about very narrow margins that ends up being something that's easier to talk about on Get Up every day, which is what Bart Scott would do before cold games.
Bart Scott gets up. Yeah. You think he has to be before Get Up, right? Like, anytime he's about to go on Get Up, he's
got
to pop.
He's
got. Right?
He's got to get up.
He's got to get
you
up.
You got to get up for Get
you
Up.
You have to get up for Get Up.
I should have done that whenever I was filling in on the Border Patrol a few days last week. Just see if that really.
Well, that's not Get Up.
Gets me out of bed.
It's the Border Patrol.
Yeah, fair enough. So yeah, I feel like at this point, I feel like I understand you. I feel like you understand me. I feel like we're not that far apart.
Yeah,
but I do want to know if you come up with a treatment plan for me, something that I should be doing to change my habits so that I don't fall. I don't want to step backwards, right? If you're happy with where I am right now, I want to make sure that we stay on the right path there. I will not watch Get Up, though. Just so you know.
How about this?
It's pretty good every now and then. I mean, it's grainy.
This week, and it can be tongue-in-cheek, this whole game, Chiefs-Steelers, whenever anybody punts on 4th and 6 from the 45,
yes.
the other team's 45,
yep,
or when somebody kicks a PAT when they could have gone for 2 and maybe mm-hmm. made a second 2-possession game or got closer, whatever, I want you to just applaud those decisions.
Okay.
And just see what life is like on the other side.
Okay.
And then just give it a chance. And then go about it and see if you
I can
know,
do that.
Right?
That's great.
Be weird, because here's the thing: like I spend every Chiefs game with Josh.
Yeah.
I have seen him lose his mind.
Oh, every tweet usually is about.
And the thing is, though, like,
I feel like I don't tweet about it that much.
As crazy as you think the tweet is, I can hear him screaming from like the other side of the building.
Oh yeah,
like he
yeah.
like the anger. Like,
and then when
when
I woke up this morning,
weird Sunday
on a Friday, and I had to read about his hero Brandon Staley getting pushed around with the big bullies in the corner. They're calling him in there. They're calling him in there. And I'm like, all right, I've got a great segment idea.
I love that you're coming with topics now. It's,
yeah,
it's making my job easier.
It makes it a lot easier. But man, you should have heard Rex Ryan Bart Scott. It was.
Here's the thing: I do not think we would have to push you on.
It wasn't so much those anti-analytics as much as like those two were just being.
It was bad
dorks.
Radio by two yes. people who didn't understand what they were talking about. That's the Mark Schlereth thing. That frustrates me.
Here's what I do worry about: is like, okay, these forward thinkers, these new thinkers, these people that think a lot of the way I do. I don't want them to keep missing the playoffs, right? And you have the old guard still kind of. Andy is much more old guard, right, than he
yes.
is. He's got a great, fun toy,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
And He doesn't always use it as much as he should.
Yes.
He is a progressive offensive mind who is an old school football decision guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He very much is like adapted to the offense and
look,
like does
maybe,
some great
look,
things.
And I don't want to assume.
Still does a lot of old school.
And decisions. I don't want to assume like, God, these idiots, these guys that have been coaching the NFL for 20 years. God, they're so dumb and think about it nonstop and have considered all this. That they were probably 9 years old when they considered all the stuff Josh and Rudy and I were talking about, right? And so I don't want to I don't want it to be like, okay, well, a few years we get more of these coaches and they're not making the playoffs. Like, okay, maybe you should punt, I guess. I don't know. I just like the example of the Arkansas high school coach who does it all the time and wins state championships.
I think about that point about me telling Andy Reid that I think he did a stupid thing. I think about that almost every time, right? Like, that is not lost on me.
Well, I think
part of it is that it's something that has
people can know
close.
A lot more about a subject than you.
Right.
And still make the wrong decision, right?
Or just miss an element of it. I think I've said it this way on the post-game show in an attempt to sound humble, which is obviously all a farce. But Andy Reid is so good at 98% of what it requires to be an NFL head coach. Like, I would genuinely say 98% he is either above average or significantly above average. And so the little 2% thing, which is something that in that 98%, I cannot speak to. I do not know what that actually entails. But there's like a 2% little part of the job that I feel like I actually have a pretty good grasp on.
Yeah.
That he doesn't, I guess. And honestly, that's weird. It's weird to me. It's not an ego thing.
And with guys like Andy Reid,
I mean, everything's an ego thing for me, but you guys
know. It could be a situation where he does understand the fourth down and going for it, but it's just like he grew up in an era where punting the football on fourth down, I think especially for some of these older guys, can be so built into that even if you understand why the analytics say you should go for fourth down, even if you've completely got down, there's almost like this part of you that's just like, no, but I have to punt.
It's fourth and six and from midfield, and you're sending Tommy Townsend out there before you've even thought about it.
I've done this because I was taught this for 30 years.
Or there could be like several layers and levels below that they're considering. Like on the third,
also fair.
On the third and 27, right? Mm-hmm. Our first impulse was like, those idiots, don't they know Jamar Chase is at his huge game? Well, then Spags explained it. He was like, okay, look, they're at the 41 here. We don't want the field goal here. We're playing it like it's fourth and six and not,
third and six.
Third and six and not third and 27. Yada, yada.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, no, they did think about it a lot. But I still feel like they landed on the wrong decision there.
Right. Yeah.
How I would have played it to where, like, okay, these guys have had their foot on the gas the whole game. You haven't been able to stop them. Just give them their 12 yards and give them their field goal.
Yep.
Get the ball back to your Ferrari when that's not what happened, not what they were thinking. And so they put a lot more thought than we gave them credit for into that decision. But I think that's a good example where I feel like still all that thought landed on the wrong side of that decision.
So tell me what you think about how we do this as a larger media machine of it throughout the NFL especially. But like if Zane Anderson blocks that punt early in the Broncos game instead of running into the kicker, he is a special teams hero, and all the questions about him to Dave Tobe this week would have been about how much you've seen from what it was like to see Zane Anderson come back from his holding penalty against the Bengals to blocking that punt.
He would have gotten himself a 10-year NFL contract, basically.
Right.
Blocked that punt. Because basically he just would have been on special teams for a day, which he still might.
And now people are assigning other bad plays to him, like the Marcus Kemp at the goal line on the punt. Good, Zane! I'm like, no, Kemp was in the end zone, guys. Okay, let's pump the brakes.
If Dan Sorensen gets through that gap and knocks back Joe Burrow, even enough to just have that pass come out of his hand a little strange, they're now punting from there or going. They're not going to go 4th and 4th and 27. The analytics would say not to do that. I'm pretty sure.
Think so?
I'm pretty confident.
Pretty ballsy.
They might say do it if you get Jamar Chase one on one.
Yeah, fair enough.
They might be like, hey, you know what? This Jamar Chase guy.
But I really do try to do as much as we can in terms of evaluating the process. But obviously, the results are what everybody is going to look at because that is the thing that matters. And I don't know if we collectively are getting better or worse at that, or what we should be doing even.
Yeah, I don't know either. Man, I had a point. I forgot about. See, I'm not NFL ready for all this.
That's all right. It's
too
much,
too many numbers, too much strategy, and all that stuff.
Because during the winning streak against some truly not good football teams early on in the winning streak the Chiefs had this year, like you heard Eric Bieniemy talk about how, you know, it's about the alphabets, it's about the wins and the losses, not about the numbers or the.
Yeah.
That's true to some extent. The Chiefs would not be the 2 seed. They might not be in the playoffs if they lose close games to Jordan Love and Daniel Jones, yeah. Right? But they also don't really impress you in those games. You do need the results, but the process informs what we do with that. And especially for something like analytics.
I think we'd all be surprised at how much analytics even Andy Reid puts into it. Because I guarantee you, so if they are punting from midfield up by 14 late in the third quarter, I guarantee you what's going through their head is like, okay, if they get the ball at the 15, 90% of the time, that team will only get 4 more possessions in the game, and they have 90 or 85 yards to go. That increases that it might only be 3 possessions. That means we only have to get 1 more score. I know for a fact they're thinking about possessions and time after they come out of halftime every single game. That's why you see Andy play things the way he does.
And they're coaching. There are staff members that do that from the booth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That are in on the line of communication.
I also think, especially with Andy Reid, especially when they're playing a team who I think they're just clearly better than, where this is a clear, hey, you probably should go for a situation. Yeah. They don't. It doesn't bother me as much usually in those situations, because I do think in Andy Reid's mind, it's, hey, we could pick this up, but also I don't want to burn a fourth down play. Like I want to keep the, like I want to keep as many fourth down plays that teams have not seen that there is no tape of. I don't know if my guess is most coaches. I don't know. If
I heard at one point.
I think Andy Reid does, because I think he kind of coaches like that even during the middle of games. Like Chiefs get up big, and then the second half it gets very vanilla.
I would very
because I think he's saving plays for that. The rest of the season.
Yeah, I think you're right, and setting up stuff in some. Yes,
and
I
setting up
stuff
as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then they come out, and it's every football coach's job to make you think that they are idiots and they don't know, in a press conference, that they don't know anything whatsoever.
We were talking about this.
That's part of the game, I guess.
I think we talked about this
literally
on Wednesday.
Never knows what day or time it is.
He doesn't know when they got Melvin Ingram.
And actually, I do believe that he doesn't ever know what day or time it is. He might be the only coach who I've ever actually believed.
Well, it stinks.
What day is it?
They always bring him out second and the 11:45 press conference, and it's always right around noon. He's like,
love it.
Good morning to you guys. I guess it's 12:01. I guess 12:01, Herbie. Yeah, you I don't know up from down at this point. Yeah,
you know, we don't have much time to get ready, but you know, I guess we plan on something. We plan on Sunday night. We plan on Sunday night. It's prime time. All right.
Yeah. So I know it's I got questions about the Bengals game, but we've kind of already moved on.
My brain has completely deleted all that information.
Who did we play this week? You talking Jamar Higgins? Is that the guy?
Jamar Higgins. Andy Reid being this is what I think we landed on Wednesday. It actually genuinely makes me sad. We, being media and also fans, really, we get the stupidest version of Andy Reid that he can muster.
Yeah.
Like, and occasionally you get a glimpse, and maybe it's asking him about John Madden, or it's asking him about Eric Bieniemy, or it's asking him about somebody else usually, or maybe something that he's really excited by or whatever. You might get a glimmer of personality, but man, it is wild, and I do think it probably makes everybody around us dumber. That no head coach is ever going to give you their good stuff at the podium. Their job is to keep that a secret. That's everyone says Bill Belichick is a genius and funny and good to be around. You would never know that if you asked him about his New Year's resolutions or about a blitz package. But he will talk about special teams player, a long snapper for 20 minutes, whatever that was.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of coaches, like Todd Haley, wouldn't even talk good things about his players because that might highlight who I'm favoring for this week. We might be throwing to Tony Gonzalez a bit more.
Except for Lance Long.
To your point, Josh, I am convinced 25 years ago, Andy Reid sat down with like a sports psychiatrist and said, what's the best way to say that, okay, we're ready to play, but that we also respect the opponent? And she wrote down a sentence that says, we look forward to the challenge of playing the Steelers this week. And he has said it every week since. That's it.
I have never seen any tattoos on Andy Reid. I would guess he doesn't have any.
Guess not.
But I think that there is a chance that, like in Memento, like in the mirror every day, he sees backwards tattooed across his torso. You know, look forward to the challenge of playing. They're a well-coached team. Just a bunch of those things that his mantra,
like,
every morning.
Or he's like, he's kind of one of those guys that doesn't try to build up guys too much. He'll always say, you know, he's just one of those guys that loves playing football.
Yes. He
loves
it.
Oh, really? One of those guys, right? Like 98% of all red-blooded American males?
Somebody asked Eric Bieniemy what makes Tyreek Hill so special. He was like, he just works at it.
Yeah,
no, man, that's not why.
It's not quite it.
He could have won an Olympic race. Okay, right. He literally could have won in the Olympics. That's what makes him special.
Tyreek Hill does work at it, and I'm sure he does love the game.
I would work at it, too. I really would.
I think Zane Anderson works very hard.
Byron Pringle definitely not be good. Does.
I bet he works at it.
I bet Byron Pringle is all about that life.
I would not be surprised if Zane Anderson works harder than Tyreek Hill.
He probably does.
Or that he's the other one is like, you know, that's what made Michael Jordan great. He was so competitive. No! He could pull off a dollar bill from the top of the backboard and replace it with four quarters. That made him special. That was one of the big parts.
Lots of competitive athletes.
I'm a competitive prick, right? Yep. But I'm going for the layup there on the fast break.
Yep, that's great. That is not my lack of competitiveness. That is my lack of vertical leap.
Yes. He's just one of those guys who loves playing the game.
He just loves it.
Hey, I am sorry for introducing this much sports into
the
show.
No, it was good, though. It was a good sportsy topic.
Oh, man. Are we just now, hopefully, I mean, the rest of this hour, we're going to do absolutely nothing.
Another thing I planned. Mick, how about that?
New year, new Mick. Right. This is a year of Mick bringing content, hashtag topics.
Playoff time, guys.
2020 Mick.
2022 Mick. Yeah, I like that. Sound of that.
2020. We'll work on that. We'll work on that during the break. We'll come back with this year's New Year's baby, Mick Schaefer, next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You have three roles that you can crush, which is TV anchor,
sure,
golf course, sports parent.
That's my existence right there.
Maybe
nothing else.
If you needed a fourth one, poolside, I guess.
Poolside,
I could see I think poolside, Nick.
We call it FAP. Friday at the pool.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I would suggest FATP, probably, if you're going to do an acronym.
Well, the at could be dropped, too, but a lot of times, I think isn't included in the acronym.
I think FP is better.
FP, yeah.
FP is probably better for reasons.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Another segment with the one, the only, Mick Schaefer in studio with us here. And Mick has a stapled together few sheets of paper. Am I seeing four or five pages there?
Like six, I think.
Wow.
I had eight rounds here.
Okay. So what, you said that you brought trivia.
Yeah.
But neither Rudy nor I know exactly what that entails.
It's 2021 trivia in and around Kansas City.
Okay.
The sports scene. You got national, you got international. I'm trying to find a round that would cover, because for our kind of friend group, we have some personal stuff, trips or high school stuff or where we live kind of stuff.
But you can throw some of those at Rudy and I also.
No thanks. I'm throwing it more than you and Rudy.
We pulled a certain game out of the sky, I think on an old Sports Saturday. Or maybe it was several versions of Mick Childhood Friend or Olympic Athlete or whatever it was.
Yes.
I like that.
That was magical. That was a great time in Sports Saturday history. We'll bring it back tomorrow. Whenever I'll be hosting Sports Saturday. I'll be back in this chair in
Josh's high school friends or biblical figures.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Ooh.
It's your brand,
Nebuchadnezzar.
You knew
high
one.
High school.
You know one in high school.
Homeschool high school.
Well, he didn't even go to high school. I don't think.
That's the thing is,
it's a homeschool high school.
Homeschool high school co-ops. Everyone was named Noah.
I said that's what makes it so good. You're gonna get a lot of biblical names.
A lot of Matthew, Marks, Lukes, and Jones. Yep.
Michelle. Which one?
I think it was a biblical Michelle.
Was there?
Not spelled like my mom's name, though.
I was going to say, it's for Mick, it's a biblical figure. But,
he also knows how to spell her name. He's just writing beautiful letters. All right, what do we do? We don't really have music that we can. We can't use Jeopardy music because this gets podcast.
Yeah.
Rudy, could you whip up something like a beautiful original creation of some sort? I think it's in the. I think it would be in the system. If you can't find it, that's okay. But so this is something that you may. This is like a friend group. Like you guys get together and have a trivia night
at New Year's Eve every year.
Oh, I like that.
There are literally like 120 questions here that I come up with on my own.
This is a solo mission?
Solo mission.
Wow.
I don't know why. I just like doing it. I've done it for 15 years.
It's always based on the prior year. Is there a prize for the winner on New Year's Eve? Is that who you kiss at midnight?
I wish. QT. Because Blake won this year.
We can just sit here. We can just sit here and wait.
So I think, or give me 1 second. Actually,
that's
I
realize fine.
Why.
That's fine.
Why I couldn't hear something.
Rudy's got to double check. Rudy's going to hit 17 more buttons. And how many questions are we going to get here today? Would you say?
What do you want? So you can pick topics.
Oh wow! What's our bank?
What?
What are our topic choices? What's our topic bank here?
Okay, so Kansas.
Okay.
The Olympics.
Okay.
The United States. Kansas City Chiefs. Movies. And what's this last one? Super Bowl.
I got to get a notepad. Oh, man.
What do you want?
You have music ready? Is that, function?
Yeah,
oh,
yes,
I hit it.
Yes.
You guys got to keep track of your points here, okay?
Okay.
It's like Jeopardy. 100, 200, 300, 400, 500.
I'll take...
Let's write down three categories. Which ones did you like there? We had Kansas. We got the Olympics. You pick one, Rudy.
I feel like it was Super Bowl. That feels like a good, easy one that we should have some knowledge of.
Okay, you're doing Super Bowl. Pick one, Josh.
Let's do the United States.
United States is one.
Chiefs, can we agree on Chiefs, Rudy? Is that...
Yeah,
that works. You guys can blow those out of the water.
Let's do those.
And one more. I'll pick the last one here. Something... How about some movies?
I love that. That would have been my other choice. Okay, movies. Great.
All right, who's got the next closest birthday?
Mine was just recently, so it'll be Rudy.
Rudy.
Yep.
All right, take your pick.
Let's let's start off easy. Chiefs for 100.
Chiefs for 100.
Does it go up to 500, right?
Now, practice your buzzer. It's you're saying your name.
Yeah.
Okay. Rudy. So Josh and Rudy. These are Jeopardy rules. You cannot buzz in until the question is over.
Ooh,
I will not allow you to answer or not accept your buzzer.
Okay,
until the question's over.
And do we have to say who is or what is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You do.
Just want to make sure
because I'm giving you a statement. Here we go. The Chiefs, at the time, had won 8 straight football games after falling to this AFC contender in October.
Josh.
Yes.
Tennessee Titans. Who are the Tennessee Titans?
Very good.
No.
100.
Okay. I did not know.
You're bored.
Let's go United States for 100.
United States for 100. He launched his SpaceX rocket in May.
Josh. Rudy.
I think he actually did get it before me.
Yeah.
Elon Musk. Who is Elon Musk?
That is correct.
See, it's twice now.
Well,
won't happen again.
Jeopardy allows it. You have a little time.
Three strikes and I'm out policy. I'm fine with. Let's go United States for 200.
United States for 200.
Is this your audition to get the Jeopardy job?
Oh, I'd be better than Aaron Rodgers, tell you
definitely.
That right now.
I'd watch.
In June, a Surfside condo collapsed, killing 98 people in this U.S. state.
Josh. Florida. What is Florida?
God, you're bad at that. Nice job, though.
Never gonna get a right answer.
Give me U.S. for 500. Let's turn up the volume here.
The focal point of the December tornado outbreak was a factory in Mayfield, Kentucky that makes these common household decor items.
Oh, no. I should know this.
Can you repeat? Is that illegal to repeat the question?
Household decor items.
The focal point of the December tornado outbreak in the Midwest was a factory in Mayfield, Kentucky that makes these common household decor items.
It was in Kentucky, Rudy. That's your state. I don't know this one. I'm not because if I buzz in and get it wrong, I lose that money. Right?
No, you don't lose that money.
Oh.
That's our rule. We don't do it that way. So you might as well give it a guess.
Josh.
Yes.
What are doorknobs?
Incorrect.
Okay.
Rudy.
Yes.
What are
he's looking
doors? I really don't know.
I don't know.
Doorknobs. Nothing to do with
clue.
Candles.
Candles.
The candle factory. It's 500 question, guys. It's gonna be tougher, okay?
I like to know where we're at.
Josh, you're bored.
Let's go movies for 100, please.
Keanu Reeves returned as Neo in this cinematic franchise in 2021.
Rudy. Matrix Revelations? Resurrection. What is Matrix Resurrection?
I've been given more than enough leash, I think, in this game.
Incorrect.
Am I incorrect?
Oh, wait, what did you say? Josh.
Yes.
What is Matrix Resurrection?
Incorrect.
Oh, really?
The correct answer
is...
Is
it?
Do I get to go again?
No, okay. Is The Matrix.
Oh.
I said this cinematic franchise. I didn't want the movie.
Sneaky. Yep.
I thought I had one. We didn't
listen very well. All right, let's do movies for 200.
You're too nerdy on that one.
Yeah, I was going to be a real
I honestly
dingus.
Can't remember, though, if it's Resurrection or Revelation. That's where I was like, which one is it? It's one of those
Matrix
two.
Matrix
You want 200?
Movies for 200, yeah.
The star of Quiet Place 1, he was mostly just the director of Quiet Place 2.
Josh.
Rudy.
Josh.
Damn.
Oh, oh, hey!
Dang it!
Who is John Krasinski?
Very good.
Rudy and I locked eyes midway through that.
We knew.
It's a great film, by the way. Great sequel.
Let's keep it up. Movies for 300.
Following the filming of Spider-Man No Way Home, Tom Holland is now dating her, his co-star.
Rudy. Josh! He got me.
Rudy.
Who is Zendaya?
Well, Zendaya, but yeah.
Zendaya.
Here, I have a question for Rudy. Hey, Rudy, this segment of Almost Entirely Sports is what?
What is bad?
No, is what is looking for the last one of the hour, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Are we good on that front? Yeah, excellent. Yeah, let's keep that up. Okay, let's Rudy, back to you.
You know what? Let's go movies for four because I think I got this.
Can you bring these back next week and we can just we can do a little trivia at the end?
Absolutely. Okay, great. Yeah. She won Best Actress and her movie Nomadland won Best Picture at the 2021 Oscars.
Oh, he looks like he knows this, but I
know who directed Nomadland. I do not know
really?
Who's in it, though. Yeah, Chloe Zhao directed it.
Okay, this person is way more famous than Chloe Zhao.
I don't know this movie. I've heard of it. I don't know it. Josh.
Yes.
Who is Emily Blunt.
Incorrect.
Just seemed like a good guess.
Hey, you got
Rudy.
Her husband. Last one. Yes.
Who is Reese Witherspoon?
No, who is Frances McDormand?
Ah!
Fargo star, right?
Was that 400 for movies?
That was 400. You want to finish it off?
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, movies for five. Yeah.
Being the Ricardos tells the story of this on-screen and real-life couple.
Rudy.
Yes.
I know what the show is, but now I'm, it's, I, but that wouldn't be the answer. What is I Love Lucy? I know that's not right, though. I mean,
incorrect.
It is the show. It's that show, but that's not the answer.
Okay, do I need both?
The real life couple.
Okay, Josh, who is Lucille Ball and her husband?
Cannot accept that.
That's fair.
Who's Desi and Lucy Arnaz?
Okay.
I would have accepted Lucille Ball, too.
Okay.
What's the score, by the way? Is Rudy having points?
I've got 300.
I have 600.
Yes. Okay, what? Let's go Chiefs for 100.
We did do 100, I think.
I think we did Super Bowl for 100.
We did Chiefs for 100.
Okay, sorry. Let's do Super Bowl for 100, I wrote that down wrong.
Super Bowl for 100.
Yeah, the Chiefs-Titans question was
Chiefs. Find it. Okay, here it is. It was the second Super Bowl ever played in this Florida city. Oh, man.
Oh, Josh.
Yeah.
What is Tampa Bay?
Correct.
Okay. Oh. The framing on that one got me, but that's good. Okay, so.
Except we can't read it.
Let's make this. How many points do you have right now, Rudy?
I have 300.
Okay, so I've got 700. So let's do.
You want to do a Final Jeopardy question?
Let's do that. Yeah, let's do that because we're about out of time. Let's do Final Jeopardy.
We
have to bet a certain number, right? You want us to write that down?
Yeah.
How many points do you have? 300?
Well, no, I got to give you the category first.
Okay.
Okay, let me give you.
I'm sorry, Rudy. I couldn't hear you. You said 300.
Correct.
Okay.
How about celebrity divorces?
Okay.
I mean, we were just talking about celebrity marriages the other day. Start the week off
so
with a celebrity couple getting married or getting engaged.
You don't have to say how much you're bet. Just write it down.
But he could go in for 300, which could get him to 600.
Yeah, you should not bet.
And the
any.
Worst I want to do is tie.
You do
like
99.
If he gets it,
I'm
going to get it wrong.
Do 99 and win by a dollar.
I'm gonna say I'll
you written yours down there, Rudy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, celebrity divorces and maybe the most expensive divorce in history. She received $2 billion worth of stocks and shares from her husband.
Rudy.
No, you're writing
it down. It's
Final Jeopardy.
Bailed it.
Have you?
I actually think I know this.
Okay.
What is her first name?
I am now a little worried because I'm 99% confident it's one of two couples, and I think I have the right couple.
Oh, I think I know who it is. Will you read that one more time? Final Jeopardy.
Find it again. Final Jeopardy, and maybe the most expensive.
Was this one in 2021 though? Actually,
in history, she received $2 billion worth of stocks and shares from her husband.
The divorce I'm thinking of might be the 2020 divorce.
I also might have been more than $2 billion.
I'm down to two people. I know one of those names. I don't know the other name. So
probably
I'm going
write down that one.
I'm going to go down with the name I know.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, Rudy, you were in second place, so we'll go with you. What was your answer? What was your question?
Who is Melinda Gates?
That is correct. How much did you wager?
All of it.
I forgot about
that.
She's
at 600. Josh, you were the leader.
I wrote Mrs. Bezos.
I would have accepted Mrs. Gates.
Yeah,
I
wasn't on Gates. And so I wrote down that I was wagering however much would tie Rudy and I if I got it wrong and he got it right.
So
I think
it's
100.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the math would have been.
It would be 100.
It's 100.
So I think we've tied.
So proud of myself for knowing that one.
Yeah.
That's really disappointing. That's the thing that makes Reedy great. He's just so competitive.
That's it. That's the only thing.
All right, that's it. That's the show. Bring those back next week. We'll take another stab at it. This is great. I wonder how long we can milk these categories. I'll keep the page of what we've already cashed out here also.
Maybe just do one category a week or something like that.
I like that. Yeah. I think we should do that.
Spread it out a bit.
Rudy can just swoop in at the end again and snatch victory from the jaws of defeat.
That's what I do.
My name is Defeat. All right, Mick, thank you for being here, for closing out the week with us. We got a lot of good Chiefs Steelers previewing in this hour. I think we did a great job with that, and I think we'll talk to you next Friday, barring some unknown act of God.
Sounds good.
Let me tear off my headphones first, just want to have to hear this. Is glad you could say
that. I've been hard on you enough today, okay? So I'm not gonna say goodbye to your mom Michelle at all, okay? Maybe you can do an intervention with her and me next time. Can't wait for that.